Holy Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, when my wife and I receive a late night phone call, we can guess with a fair amount of accuracy who it is. At least we can narrow it down to two or three family members. Congregation members, strangers might hesitate to call after a certain hour in the evening, but family never does. Because, after all, they're family. It's one of the advantages of that family bond. They don't hesitate to call us. We don't hesitate to call them. We don't mind those calls. Well, there is no closer family fellowship or bond than that which exists between our Savior Jesus and His Heavenly Father. And yet, our Lord loved us to such a degree that He came to this earth. He left His heavenly throne, left His Father to live here on this sinful earth with us. But while He was here, He stayed in close contact with His Heavenly Father through prayer. We read often in Scripture that our Lord was engaged in prayer. And that's a reassurance for us. Because every time the Lord was in prayer, He was reaffirming that fellowship, demonstrating that fellowship which He has with the Heavenly Father, and showing His determination to carry out His Father's will and accomplish the salvation of sinners. Also, the Lord's praying is a tremendous example for us, a model for us in our own prayer lives. So it's been appropriate that during this Lenten season we've been focusing on several of the Lord's prayers, and this evening is no different. We're going to take a look at a late night prayer which Jesus offered to His Heavenly Father. We read of it in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that He went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself, and from them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles: Simon, whom He also named Peter, and Andrew His brother; James and John; Philip and Bartholomew; Matthew and Thomas; James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot; Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. What keeps you awake at night? Scripture tells us that sleep is a blessing. Solomon says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves." Still, I'd be willing to guess that all of us here at one time or another have difficulty falling asleep. We toss and turn for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's just been such a busy day that you can't turn your brain off. You're stuck in that tense, what am I going to do next mode. And no matter how exhausted we may be, worry is guaranteed to keep us up. Might be worry over a strained family member, an upcoming surgery, a job that's in jeopardy, a marriage that's under stress, you name it. And then you know how it is at night. When it's dark outside and dark in the house, it seems like that darkness just seems to close in and the problems are magnified. And then you think of everyone else. It seems like everyone else in the whole world is peacefully sleeping, and you're lying awake all alone. And there's no one to share your concerns. And just being tired can add to the worry and make it even harder to fall asleep. Jesus knows all about that. He lived on this earth. He knows about the stresses and problems that everyone faces because of sin. And yet He never worried. Instead, He prayed. When you hear a text like the one I just read, where all we're told is that Jesus prayed, Don't you wonder just what he prayed about? Wouldn't it be great if we could have the content of all of his prayers? He prayed all night. Think of the instructive value and the comfort that would be in all those words if we had them in Scripture. And yet the Holy Spirit has chosen not to give us those words. But we can imagine, we can draw perhaps some conclusions just from the context of the text. In recent time, at least in Luke's account, we read about how the disciples were accused of breaking the Sabbath by the Pharisees for walking through the grain fields and plucking a few heads of grain and popping them in your mouths. Perhaps Jesus prayed about that and asked that the Lord would give his disciples strength to withstand the attacks of his enemies. We're also told about how Jesus on a Sabbath day had healed a man with a shriveled hand. And again, he was attacked by his enemies for showing this act of mercy on the Sabbath. Perhaps Jesus prayed about them and asked that the Lord would bring them to repentance. But probably even more directly, the Lord prayed for his followers in regard to what we read just after he prayed. The next morning, he chose 12 apostles. They were the ones whom he would send out after his resurrection and ascension. They would spearhead the effort, the mission effort of the early church. They would be eyewitnesses of his crucifixion and resurrection. They would experience the blessings of Pentecost. But at the same time, they would experience the most intense persecution. The Lord knew his followers. And just like we have our different personalities, our different weak spots in our armor, so the disciples did too. Think of impetuous Peter. The others too had their weaknesses as well as their gifts from God. No doubt the Lord prayed for them and asked the Spirit to be with them, to encourage them and instruct them, and to give them the bravery and the comfort, the joy to keep going forward through those years of ministry, because all of them, except for John, would end up being martyred for their faith. So sleep is a blessing from God. There are times when other things are more important. Prayer is at times far more important. We have that privilege because Jesus came to be our Savior. Never take that for granted. You know, sometimes those of us who have been born and raised as believers just take it for granted that we can pray. We've done it before we can remember. Our parents taught us to fold our hands, say our bedtime prayers and our meal prayers. But God reminds us that it's not just a natural right we have. In fact, because of our sin, we had no right. Scripture is very blunt. And Isaiah says, your sins have separated you from God so that he won't hear. The way things stood by nature, God was angry with us because of sin. He turned his back on us because of sin, wouldn't listen to us. But we know it changed. Jesus came. He took our guilt upon himself. He measured up to God's holy standards in the law in our behalf so we could be covered with his righteousness. He is our peace. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And therefore we've been reconciled with God. We've been brought into his family. And one of the privileges in that family fellowship is praying. Paul offers us some of the most comforting advice I can think of when he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Or think of Martin Luther's explanation to the address of the Lord's Prayer. He says, God would by these words tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true Father, and that we are his true children, so that we may with all boldness and confidence ask him as dear children ask their dear father. So, we have that privilege of prayer. We have the invitation from our Heavenly Father to pray to him. Tonight then, before you fall asleep, what will you pray about? Jesus prayed all night. I've never been able to do that. Maybe some of you have. But what will you pray about before you fall asleep? Perhaps if you're like me, you'll replay the day, kind of rewind the tape and just go over things. And when you do that, what will you see? Will it be an unblemished record where you'll say, Lord, thank you. I accomplished everything I wanted to do. I served you faithfully. I can fall asleep with an accomplished feeling. Well, none of us can say that. We start each day with that prayer that the Lord would guide us and that he'd give us opportunities and that we'd serve him faithfully. But we fall short. So we look back over today. Perhaps what burdens your conscience is something you said about someone else behind their back. Or something you texted about someone else. You can't take those words back. They're out there. And you feel terrible about that. Or it could be that you saw an opportunity and you may even recognize it as a God-given opportunity to help somebody. There they were, a family member who was in a rush, needed to get something done, and you could have stepped in and offered them a hand, or someone at work, or maybe a stranger at the store, and you just didn't, because you didn't want to be bothered. So you look back over that, and now that bothers you, because you realize that it wasn't God-pleasing. It was omitting an act of love which the Lord would have had you do. Or maybe you're just satisfied with the way the Lord directed your life, or the place in life the Lord has placed you. And instead of being in cold Wisconsin, you wish that the Lord had put you somewhere warmer. Or you had a different job, or a different family, or a different health situation. And that too is sin. Thankfully, we know what to do with that. The Lord invites us to come to him with all that guilt and confess it. And he promises then to forgive it. Now, that's what gives us the confidence, the incentive to come to him. That faith in his mercy and forgiveness. Because if we didn't have that confidence, well, then we'd be terrified. We'd have no reason to even pray to him. Instead, we'd hide from him. But no, the Lord says, come to me, all your burdens. David did that. He confessed his sin. And the prophet Nathan assured him, the Lord has put away your sin. You're not going to die. Or again, think of the apostles whom Jesus would send out. What did they preach? That same message of God's mercy toward undeserving sinners. The apostles pointed out the people's guilt. They preached to the Jews and said, you killed the Son of God. You killed the Savior whom God sent into the world. But then they went on and said, but the Lord has raised him from the dead. And now repent and believe and receive forgiveness. And that's what the Lord assures us of as well. We can come to him tonight, as we'll do in the service in a few minutes, confess our sins, all of them, even the ones we don't remember or don't even realize we committed, but God sees them. We can confess them all. And we look to the cross, and we know that Jesus paid for them all. His blood has washed us clean. And that gives us a tremendous peace. Our consciences are at rest, and we're ready to sleep. Or are we? Do you ever have trouble sleeping because you're afraid that when you close your eyes, something's going to happen that you have no control over? Well, the Lord assures us that He never sleeps. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And we sometimes worry about, you know, our daily bread for the next day. Where are we going to find the money to pay the bills, meet the mortgage? What's going to happen if I lose my job? What's going to happen when I retire? But there again, the Lord who fed 5,000 men miraculously with just a handful of fish and bread, well, He's still just as powerful. And we pray to Him each day, give us this day our daily bread, and He hasn't failed us yet, and He never will. Or dangers. Think of all the dangers out there in the world. Just this morning, I realized another one. Perhaps you saw it on the news. A golfer was on the golf course, just minding his own business. All of a sudden, whoosh, disappeared into a sinkhole. Could easily have lost his life. Can't even depend on the ground you step on. But there again, the Lord invites us to bring all of our concerns to Him. Like Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. When I begin to worry about my own safety or the safety of my loved ones, think of David. There was a time when David was on the run for his life. His own son Absalom was trying to steal the throne from him. Absalom had won the hearts of the majority of the citizens over to his side. David was forced to flee Jerusalem out into the wilderness. Had no idea what was going to happen. You could imagine that night he couldn't possibly sleep, that he'd be pacing and planning strategy and just in an emotional mess. But he wasn't. Instead, he prayed. And we're given an insight into that in the Psalms. For he said, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. So you can picture him saying that prayer before he lay down and went to sleep. Lord's angels were there watching over him. He woke up to another day, and you can read the rest of the story in Scripture. So why do we worry then about the course of our lives when that same Lord is watching over us and says, all our days were written in His book before one of them came to be. And as Jesus prayed for His apostles, we too want to pray not just for ourselves, but for our loved ones, our families. Because they too are living in the same sinful world and they face the same threats to their faith and their earthly lives that we do. We want to pray for one another, for our fellow believers. Because again, Satan has targeted all of God's people. And we need the strength which only the Lord can provide. I want to pray for pastors and teachers and others who are spreading the word of God, our missionaries. Because like the apostles, they're on the front lines. They've been entrusted with that one and only gospel, the saving truth. But the world is hostile to that. And they need courage, which only the Lord can give. I want to pray for all people that the Lord would bring those who don't know Jesus as their Savior to faith, just like Jesus prayed for those who crucified Him. His Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. We have plenty to pray about, and we can do so confidently. Think back to when you were little, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old maybe, or if you're old enough, probably can't remember that, so think back to your children when they were that age. What happened when they were distraught over something, when they couldn't sleep? Well, chances are, you just lay down with them on the bed, talk to them, maybe sang a hymn with them, prayed with them, and typically what happens? Before long, just a couple of minutes, the little one relaxes, and you're right there, mom or dad's right there, so they have nothing to worry about, and they fall asleep. No matter what our age, we are always children of the Heavenly Father. And even if everyone else is asleep, we have someone we can always talk to. And He's always there. Don't hesitate to pray to Him any time of the night. Go to Him, seek His forgiveness. Reflect on the day. Thank Him for the blessings. Because every good and perfect gift does come from His hand. Entrust all your tomorrows to Him, knowing that He'll be there with the same grace and mercy He's shown to the world of sinners since eternity. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Relax in His arms. And pray for a peaceful, restful night's sleep so that we can wake up tomorrow eager to serve Him in love. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.